That's the last book of the Old Testament. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. I felt impressed of the Lord to return to something that we have been talking about, at least the beginning of last year. But it has very much to do with our call and the place that we are in as a body and the assignment, again, that God has given us. It's not going to look like anybody else. It's going to be unique. It's going to be specific to us. However, there are some generalities that belong to the body of Christ. There are things that God has very clearly told us to do, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? Amen. And so God is the one who gives strategy as to how to do that wisely. We all want to bear fruit. I know everyone here wants to be fruitful, you know, in the Lord. We don't want to live a wasted life, but we want to maximize the days that we've been given and bear fruit for the glory of God. And so here's a prophetic word in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. And this morning's message is called In the Spirit of Elijah. And behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, according to this prophecy, Prophet Elijah would be coming before the Messiah. Now, this occurred in part when Jesus came the first time with John the Baptist. Jesus himself said that he has already come. And Matthew chapter 17, verse 10, he said, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. Now, this is what he says. He's coming first and will restore all things. Now, all things have not been restored. Would you agree with me? Okay. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Luke 1:17 says, John would go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So when the Lord came the first time, he sent out, you know, John, in the spirit of Elijah, to proclaim the coming of the Son. Amen? Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. A highway for our God. And so, Jesus, as we know, lived a sinless life, was crucified, dead, and buried. He rose again on the third day. He ascended to the Father. And he's there waiting right now for the time when the Father gives him the word and sends the Son to come. And I believe the next thing that's going to happen is the rapture of the church, the catching away of the people of God. And if ever we were close to that time, it's today. And we need to be preparing to meet the Lord. Whether we go in the rapture or whether something else takes us out of here, we need to be ready to meet Jesus. I was watching a little bit about that situation in Haiti. And there are a lot of believers there, folks. A lot of people that really love Jesus in Haiti. And that place is complete shambles. It's completely devastated, that country. I mean, just about all the buildings are completely wiped out. And they're living in just these huts that they put together out of tarps and sheets and corrugated steel, whatever they could find to live in. Does that mean that they were worse sinners than us? No, it does not. It just means that we're living in the last days. And things are happening, and things are happening suddenly. Things are happening often without warning. Now, God has already warned us and said, be ready, be prepared. I'm coming in an hour when you think not. And the judgments of God have already begun on the earth. But out of this, We need to understand something, that God's getting people ready. He's getting a people ready for Him. And what these things do is they cause us to realize that God's Word, first of all, is true. Amen? That things are, this age is coming to a close. There's going to be a new age, and not according to the world. Amen? But God is getting us ready to meet Jesus. And so we've got to be the ones who are declaring, not only to others, but to ourselves, prepare the way of the Lord. Get your heart right. Get your house in order. As it was in the days of Noah, so also it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and giving in marriage, and they knew not until the day they entered into the ark, and the flood took them away, and they didn't know until it was too late, you see. We should not be in the darkness. We, as God's people, should be awake. We should be watchful. We should be in prayer. Amen? We should be preparing this vessel. If Jesus is to come today, amen? Or if they ignite a nuke today somewhere, there's word from some of the Homeland Security people have even said they believe they've got them already in America, ready to go. Suitcase bombs that can wipe out, you know, large portions, if not an entire city. And we've got to be ready. I didn't say that to scare, but to prepare and make us realize that we're living in very uncertain times. And the only stability that there's going to be is not in the stock market. Are you when you say amen? But the only stability we're going to have is in Christ. So we've got to make sure that we are right with God today. You see, tomorrow never comes. There are many people in hell that said, tomorrow I will get my heart right with God. And tomorrow never came for them. And when we look around and we see what's going on, we need to realize the times we're living in. Hallelujah. The first time Elijah came was to precede Jesus as he came and was born in a manger. Amen? He came the first time as a suffering servant. And many of the Jews did not understand that because they were expecting a ruling king. And remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey, remember? And I'm using politically correct language here. They were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And they thought, hey, the Messiah is here, you know? Multiplication of bread and fish. And, you know, he's going to take care of these Romans that are oppressing us. And life is going to be good. The Messiah has come. They recognized who he was. Many did at that time. However, for many it was short-lived. You know, one day they're crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the next day they're doing what? Crucify him. Yeah. And so it was preparing the way for his first coming. And now the spirit of Elijah has gone out again. I believe today in this dispensation of time, the spirit of Elijah is upon the church. And the spirit of Elijah is a spirit of boldness and power. Boldness and power. How many would agree with me that we need boldness and power? We don't have it naturally. Peter was in the natural, was probably a pretty burly, big, you know, kind of guy. And he was very outspoken. And he knew how to put people in their place, you know. And yet when it came to spiritual things, Peter was really a child. And he had to realize that apart from the grace of God, you're not going to be able to stand up. You're not going to be able to do what Christ is calling us to do, except that we be endued with power from on high. I'm not talking about something we did 20 years ago when we knelt at an altar and we spoke in tongues. I'm talking about walking in the power of God every day. Amen. In order for us to bear fruit, we must continue to walk in the Spirit. We must be full of the Holy Spirit and power. Amen? And the spirit of Elijah will come upon you. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Acts 1:8. Amen? And you shall be my witnesses. It gives you boldness. And the place where they were assembled was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. How many need some boldness in your life? Get filled up. Amen. God is the one who will strengthen you with might in the inner man. He's the one that will build you up. We've got to be building ourselves up on the inside. There's some pretty good, bulky, muscle-bound guys out there, but on the inside, they're little wimps. And I've seen little grandmothers about this high. Amen. That, by all appearances, didn't have a lot going for them. However, on the inside, there was power. Amen. And they lay hands on that big old dude, he hits the floor. And God wants you and I to be so full of Him that there's just an automatic overflow of His presence. When you walk into the room, something shifts, something changes. Heaven invades hell. Amen? Now, during the time of Elijah, almost the entire nation of Israel had backslidden and began worshiping Baal. Elijah was raised up to preach repentance from idolatry and for the people to return to the living God. Okay, so here's Israel in a time of great idolatry, all right? Idolatry, however, is not just bowing down, right, to statues, as some would think. But idolatry comes in many forms. Sometimes we make ourselves an idol when we put our priorities ahead of God. We worship ourselves sometimes more than we do God. There are idols in the heart of pride and greed and jealousy. These things that have exalted themselves and they've stuck their ugly head up in us. Anybody beside myself ever deal with those things? Sure. Every one of us. Come on. It's part of our natural, you know, being. All of us have that junk in us naturally. However, comma, when we are full of the Holy Spirit, that part of you cannot rule. That part of you has to die. Amen? You can't be full of self and full of the Holy Spirit at the same time. Are you hearing this today? How important it is for us to be full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We walk in the Spirit and then we won't gratify the sinful nature. We won't do what it tells us to do. We will tell that every day when we get up. Nope. Sure, we get tempted, but we have a choice. So I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 18. Chapter 18, 1 Kings. Hallelujah, verse 21. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're good. You're good. Father, I acknowledge my dependency upon you today. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, come and blanket this place, Lord. Captivate every heart and every mind. Bring us to the attention of what the Spirit is saying to the church today. I bind every attempt of the enemy right now to rob, kill and destroy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shavakuna Masha. Wow. This is the great victory on Mount Carmel. Most of us are familiar with this. You know, it doesn't matter how many times we look at this. You got to continue in the Word of God. You got to continue to look in the mirror of the Word. Would you agree with me today that we need to stay in this Word? Otherwise, we forget, don't we, very quickly. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes we look at these great men of God throughout Scripture and we say, wow, that was David, that was Daniel, that was Moses, you know, that was Elijah. But God's trying to tell us something today, amen, that they were just, in fact, if you read their life history, you'll find out that there are issues in their lives as well. If my memory serves me right, there's only one perfect one. Now, that does not justify bad behavior. I'm just saying that there's going to be weaknesses in every one of us. So before we point a judgmental finger at somebody else, you better be understanding that there's another four, right? Or three, pointing back, because this is a thumb. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If we could just take care of self, judge self, amen, and understand we're all a work in progress, give somebody some grace, amen, give them some space, give them some grace to grow, just like God has given us grace, isn't He? Because as soon as I think I got it figured out, I got it all together, God turns up the heat a little bit more. And Elijah came to all the people and he said, verse 21, how long are you going to falter between two opinions? Double-mindedness. If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. Now in the church today, we see double-mindedness. We see a lot of this wavering thing going on, especially in America, in the Church of America, where people, they love the world and they want to do their church thing too, you know. You can't have it both ways. You're either going to go all the way with Jesus or you might as well just go all the way for the devil, amen? Because you can't do the both. A little bitterness makes the entire batch of water, right, bitter. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now, what is he feeling? He's kind of feeling like, I'm a minority here. I'm just this little one dude, and there's 450 of these ones. Amen? How many ever feel that way sometimes in the world, you know? That it's just little old you, and it's just this world of wickedness and evil all around you. Well, I think we can find hope today from this passage of Scripture. Therefore, let them, he said, give us two bowls. Let them choose one bowl for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bowl, lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Verse 24, then you shall call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bowl for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bowl which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until evening, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. Amazing. No one answered, and then they leaped about the altar which they had made. Hallelujah. You know, we do that so many times in our materialism, don't we? We try to comfort ourselves with all the stuff that we accumulate sometimes, you know? And then all of a sudden the stuff's not there. You know, something happens, the stuff is not there. And now what happened to that which we had trusted in? Our artificial security blanket has forsaken us. Come on. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he's meditating, or he's away, or he's busy, or on a journey. Perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. They were getting desperate. Now, you know, if the church would just get a little bit more passionate, right? I mean, you see how passionate these people were to get a response from their God. And it always baffles me that you look at people that are involved in Buddhism and other cults and religions today, you know, how dedicated, how committed they are, and how faithful they are to follow after a lie. And it's because they don't know the truth. And yet, you know, sometimes we who have the truth can be so slothful and so lazy and lack so much diligence and really trying to get a hold of that which is the real truth, amen, the reality. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him. He prepared an altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. He always had a strategy because he heard from God. How many of you know that God gives us assignments? He gives us clear assignments. To whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. And then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. What is he going to do? An altar is a place of sacrifice. It is a place of worship. He worshipped. Elijah was a worshiper. Are there any worshipers in the house today? And he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two seas of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood and said, fill four water pots with water. He's going to take it an extra mile here. If they compel you to go one, Jesus said, go with them two. and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. They did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. Now, how many are kind of putting yourself in this situation? Ever do that? I hope we do. When we look at the Word, we need to say, how do I fit into this? What would I do if I were in that situation? What is God trying to tell me from this today? Have you ever been in a situation where you're on the spot? Oh, of course we have. Now, Elijah is putting himself out there, folks. Would you agree? Man, this is risky now. He says, not even once, twice, go ahead and put more water on it so it's out there. And I'm just wondering if the devil didn't come up to him and say, Elijah, you're going to look like a fool if nothing happens. You know, the same thing we're faced with when we even pray for the sick or we face things in life. Isn't it true? He comes up and says, you're going to look like a fool. Nothing's going to happen. God's not going to answer. You say, forget that. I'm not going to listen to the voice of the enemy. Amen. I'm going to listen to the voice of truth. I'm going to listen to Jesus. Amen. And what he told me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to worry about it because it's not about me anyways. It's about Jesus, making him famous. And God will back up his word. God will confirm his word with signs following. And so, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. That's where we get that song, Lord God of Abraham, let it be known today that you are God. It's okay to pray that, you know. Because God wants to show up. He's waiting for us. Oh, there's nothing wrong with God. Amen. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know that you are the Lord God. Not that I would look good. Come on. But that they will know that you are the Lord. And that you have turned their hearts back to you again. He had a heart of compassion for the people. He didn't want to see the people, you know, hung up on this lie. You know, there's a lot of good people out there, folks, that are believing the lie. They're caught up in the occult, amen, and witchcraft and Satanism and all this garbage that the world is offering them. And it's because people in their heart are really searching for God. There's this hunger, there's this vacancy, there's this void in their lives. They're looking for something that's going to fill them, something that's going to give them a sense of security in life. We all realize that I need something greater than myself, or most people do. And so they're looking here and they're looking there. And folks, if you and I, as the Church of Jesus Christ, don't come in the spirit of Elijah and demonstrate the kingdom, then they're going to go look somewhere else. I heard a statistic a few years back that they say that 80% of young people that get involved in witchcraft and Satanism came out of evangelical churches. Because they're dead. And we should not be dead. We should be living. We should be moving, amen, in the power of God. So the world and the skeptics are silenced before the Lord. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Elijah had to come to a place where he would not spare himself. All right? He was not going to worry about his own ego. He was not going to worry about how he appeared to men. He was not worried about if this thing doesn't work out the way I thought it should, how foolish I'm going to look. He had to deny himself. He had to deny that part of him that wanted to be praised and recognized by men and say, I don't care what people think, I'm going to obey God. And when I put myself out there, I know my God's going to be with me. When I step out of the boat onto the water, I know Jesus is going to be there. Thank God we criticized Peter, but Peter was the one that at least got up out of the boat. Amen?
Oh, he is a man of little faith. He was unbelieving, and he saw. Man, he walked on water. He at least he got out of the boat. Amen. He did something. So we've got to come to the place where you see when we're full of God and we get our heart right with God and the flesh, amen, is not ruling. The flesh is squashed and under our feet. That all of a sudden, the flesh man, he may say, don't do it, you're going to look foolish. That you're going to say, I'm not listening to you, you're dead. Get back. And when you step out for Jesus, isn't it true? You just got to do that. You got to stomp on that voice. You got to stomp on the enemy. You got to stomp on unbelief and say, I refuse to entertain unbelief. I'm only going to believe and speak faith today. Because faith honors God and faith is pleased with it. Amen? God is pleased with our faith. It's the only thing that pleases God. You know, I remember when Hamilton was here a few years ago, he asked the question, what pleases God? And we had all kinds of answers, you know. Going to church, praying, reading my Bible, obedience. Do these things please God? Sure they do. But only if they're in faith. The key is to be in faith. You can't be in faith unless you're in the Spirit. Am I right? In fact, even when the Spirit convicts a heart, when He moves on a heart, it's by grace that that person comes to a realization of themselves and they recognize a need for salvation. And a bit of faith arises in them. We all have natural faith. We can make decisions, make choices. We do it every day. But when you're full of the Holy Spirit, your faith comes to a supernatural level. It's heightened. We don't have what it takes, folks, to get the job done. And just coming to church on Sunday, once a week, amen, is not going to do it either. Now, I encourage that, and I encourage you to come as often as you can. But even if you came 3 times a week, it's not enough. You need to get up in the morning and decide, I'm going to walk with God today. It's not something we do on one, a certain day of the week, is it? It's a walk. It's a daily walk. And so Elijah was a man that moved in boldness and he moved in power because he trusted God. He believed God. Now, we asked the question, but and we've all said this, but that was Elijah. You know where I'm going with this already, don't you? James 5:17 says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was no different than you and I. He was just a flesh and blood, right? So God's saying here that don't belittle yourself in me. Understand who you are. Understand the authority that I've given you. Operate in that realm. Be faithful in the authority that I've given you. I find in my own life, and I know you do too, that the more that we are active with what we've been given, whether you may think it's only a few fishes and a few loaves, you may feel it's insignificant what I have, but if you are faithful and you are active with what God gives you, God will increase. God will increase that anointing. Amen? And the authority will become greater in your life. You'll have a greater level of authority in the Spirit. But we've got to be activated. And that's why I encourage people to continue to pray. Continue to read the Word. Get the Word in you. Continue to step out in faith. Continue to pray for people. If you didn't see any results, don't get discouraged. Be faithful. I've heard testimonies of people that prayed 300 times plus for people to be healed and never did anybody get healed. Until one day, God saw the faithfulness of that heart, and boy, now they have a very powerful healing ministry. So the key is to get out of the boat. The key is to get activated. The key is to begin to use what you've been given. What is it that you have in your hand, Moses? It's just a stick. Cast it down. Do something with what you have. And it turns into a serpent, remember? Grabs it again, turns back into the stick. Insignificant. Well, what do you have in your hand, David? Well, just 5 stones and a sling. That's all you need. Little is much if God is in it. Whatever we feel we have that may seem insignificant, folks, if God put it there, it's powerful. The key here is faithfulness. The key here is determining not to listen to unbelief, not to bow down to that, but to determine I'm going to believe God. And to believe God means I've got to step out of myself, out of my insecurities, out of my fear, and I need to step out into the place called faith. You know what I'm saying? And you can't do that unless you are full of the power of God, because you are a worshiper of God. Elijah worshiped. He didn't just go out there, he worshiped. And then he said, go ahead, bring it on. And what we're faced with today in our city, what we're faced with today in our world, is a confrontation between the powers of darkness and the kingdom of God. Amen? Folks, let me hear this. It's coming down to the wire. It's coming down to where the rubber meets the road, that you and I are going to have to stand up. We're going to have to shake off the junk. Amen? Stand up for Jesus. Quit wallowing in sorrow, wallowing in the past, wallowing in my problems. Shake that stuff off and say, I don't have time to let the devil rob me anymore. It's time for us to just step out of the boat and say, I don't care if I've got a twinge in my back. I don't care if it's raining outside. When we put the flyers out, it was raining, wasn't it? It was cold too. But the joy of the Lord. It's what we meditate, what we focus on, what we think on. If we think the right thoughts, we get the right results, you see? If we entertain belief and quit wallowing in unbelief. Sometimes I've seen it also, where you may not feel anything. We like goosebumps. We like to feel things, don't we? And I love the presence of the Lord just as much, if not more. But we all love Jesus, I know. We love His presence. But whether you feel Him, He's still there. Because He promised. And I found that when I just do what I hear that voice saying, you know, saying, go pray for that person. Go talk to that person. And the flesh is saying, no, no. They may laugh at you. They may reject you. Get behind me, Satan. Because your flesh is controlled by that evil nature. Amen? That's that evil nature. And the enemy can only operate through the flesh. He can't operate through the spirit. So that's when we have to say, I deny you. I permit you not to speak. Be quiet. God said, do this. And when you step out and you do what He says, then all of a sudden, you feel the presence of the Lord. I brought this up the other day. Nels, again, you were talking about, if you weren't here, it was a week ago or so. It was Pete's son was out. We were witnessing to him. And Nels is over there, you know, sawing away. Every time we're trying to say, and Jesus loves you, brother. Yeah. But we the Lord opened the door where we were able to pray for him. And so we started to pray, and Nels is over there going, and he stops. And what did you say? He just, all of a sudden, he felt Jesus show up, you know? The Holy Spirit shows up. And he stopped, and he realized something was going on. But you see, if we don't obey, even when it doesn't make sense up here, come on, fire coming from heaven, and it's not only going to consume the sacrifice, but it's going to lick up all the water and the rocks. Wow. Your natural understanding, right, is going to fight. is going to say, no, that just doesn't happen. And, well, I'm going to look pretty foolish if we do this and nothing happens. But you know God's honor is at stake. And if God has given us an instruction, even if it may seem ridiculous, if we obey it, there's going to be results. And I believe this year we're going to see greater miracles. Amen? And not so we can just say how holy we are and compare ourselves to others, but so that Christ will be glorified. Amen? That people will say, Jesus, He is Lord. Amen? Jesus, He is Lord. He's the true God. This is the true God. When they see demons come out of people, amen, they know that a greater power has come. The witches think that they've got it. They think they've got control. They got the monopoly on the power. Greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. Chris was telling me that in one of the countries, Zimbabwe, one of those places he was at, that he said that he came up and there was a very powerful witch doctor was able to do these tremendous things that wowed the people. And he said he came up to him and he just came walking right up to him. And he was just right in the spirit. And he just said, I rebuke you. And he said he went to put his hand out like that. He said that dude just flew 6 feet up in the air and flew back 6 feet. The power of God hit him. He got set free. He got saved. Amen. Spirit of Elijah. Spirit of boldness. Spirit of power. Why is it that much of the church today does not proclaim the kingdom of God to the lost in this way? Come on, we want to have intellectual debates with people, don't we? We want to outwit them. Have you ever won anybody by outwitting them? Should we be able to give a defense of what we believe? Absolutely. But folks, when it comes down to it, it's got to be the intervention of God. It's got to be an intervention from heaven. There has to be a divine visitation of the Spirit of God for a person to genuinely get saved. There are people that are very gifted and have oratorical skills. Did I say that right? And they can just speak so well and convince people. There's a lot of salesmen out there that don't know Jesus that can do the same thing. Okay? And you can fill an altar full of people that have been intellectually challenged. All right? And they can make a decision and go out that door and nothing has changed. Why is that? It has to be by the Spirit. It's not by power. It's not my might. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Could it be that we're not truly living by faith? Are we afraid that the God of Elijah will not answer with fire after we pray? Could it be the risk of public embarrassment is too great? Do you see that God wants to stretch us to a place where we're not even concerned about public embarrassment anymore? And that's when God shows up, by the way, is when you are really trusting in the Lord. And you can't trust in self and the Lord at the same time. I don't have to worry about it because I can't do it. Are you with me? God can do it. And I'm going to believe for God to do it and just use me as a vessel, just like He wants to use every one of us here. John 20 and verse 30, Jesus did many signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. What were the miracles for? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Do you think God wants to do miracles today? John 2:23. Now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in His name when they saw the signs which He did. Do you believe God wants signs? Acts 6:8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Acts 8:6. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. They listened to Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which He did. Does God want to do miracles through you? Come on, say yes and make me feel good. All right. Acts 15:12. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. When it comes to the lost, folks, we are to declare the kingdom of God is at hand. God wants to reveal himself as a true God. We're to heal the sick. We're to cast out demons. We're to raise the dead. And by doing so, we are bearing witness to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We serve the living God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means today the Lord is with us. Yes, 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, but my speech and my preaching were persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Where does our faith need to be? In God's ability, in His power, amen? To perform miracles, to heal the sick, to drive out demons. Why? So that the world will know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He is risen, He is alive. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not of us. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, but our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. It's time for you and I to do, amen, what Jesus told us to do. We need to get back to the place where we were stepping out for Jesus, doing what Jesus did, looking for opportunities, looking for people in the store, looking for people on the street. You see somebody hobbling along or on a cane, look for an opportunity. Pray that God will direct you to somebody. Amen? Because God wants to show up. And when they are loved on by Jesus, and they say, God, they realize, most people know they're a mess. And when they realize that God loved them that much to do something special for them, even in their state, even in the way I am, and God did that to me, I want to know this Jesus. And when people are healed, many times they're open to receive Christ. Do you see it? It's important that you and I are moving in the gifts of the Spirit. That we're so full of the Holy Spirit that there's going to be demonstrations. Amen? Manifestations. That the kingdom of heaven is not a pie in the sky in the by and by, but is a right now reality that He is with us. He's among us. And He wants to use you. He wants to use you. Save it. Yeah. Save it. That's a good point. Thank you. Can I have everybody just to bow your heads for a moment, please? And I ask that no one looks around and